Welcome to the Everyday iRacers podcast.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Rob.
And we are Everyday iRacers, just like you.
You know, I was thinking about that Everyday iRacers thing, Josh. And I was thinking, like, what does that mean anyway, right? What does it mean to you?
I think we're average racers that race every day, and it kind of works for both.
We put a lot of time into the hobby, and we talk about it with our friends on Discord, and we're sharing it with everyone else.
You know what? When we were talking about doing a podcast, we could have spent weeks coming up with a name and all this, and I think you just threw out Everyday iRacers. And we said, yeah, until we come up with something better. But it turns out, I think that was the best possible name we could have come up with. It describes what we do. It describes how good we are at it or not good.
It gives us a bit of an out.
Yeah.
Right on.
Well done.
Episode 30. Here we are, 2021 season 4. This is our first podcast since the new season. And yeah, we're doing different races. We're into different things. There's some great updates. But you've been on a bit of a tear, I think, on your weekly run-of-the-mill racing.
I'm having a great time in open wheel. And you know that I've always liked open wheel racing. I enjoy the F3 cars. Kind of jumped in them. I'm trying to decide if that's what I'm going to run all season long. And as of week one, I think I will run F3 all season long. You know what my IR is right now?
What?
1596.
You're higher than me, I think.
Yeah, I'm higher than I've ever been. I'm higher than you. I can confirm that. I'm up there in the, let's say there's four splits. I'll be in the second split from the top, which is, I've never been in the second split when it splits four times. Battling for wins. It's the greatest feeling when you can combine battling on track with battling for like top five. And it's been like that all week. I think I jumped in 10 different F3 races between fixed and open. I'm able to set a good qualifying time. My starts are a little sketchy, so I drop back to like 10th sometimes, and I fight my way back. And podium on any given race, a podium is totally within reach.
That is awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's so much fun, and they're doing it every hour, right? Love the car. Been a good group of racers out there.
You know, I just want to interject that I love the every hour format that they've got going. This alternating fixed, open, it really gives you an opportunity to focus on a particular series.
Absolutely. And they've done it for both, what, F3, GT3. I don't know if there are any other...
Yeah, the Porsche Cup.
Porsche Cup. There you go.
You know, you are second split of, say, three or four.
Yep.
Are you striving to get into that top split?
You know, I was thinking about that. Am I out of my depth? So I'm doing okay in F3. I've got almost up to 1600. I need another race or two, and I might be 1600. Have I accidentally flown too close to the sun for every other series that I'm running? And I think the answer is maybe. Because I jumped in at Road Atlanta, and I didn't think my 1600 all of a sudden magically made me a better GT3 racer at Road Atlanta. And turns out it didn't, right? So am I striving for the top split? I don't think so. I think I'm happy where I am. I'm happy with organic growth.
You're happy because you're winning.
Yeah, I'm happy because I'm winning. I'm having fun. I'm on this service to have fun, right? Yeah. To race cars, to have fun, to meet like-minded racers. And I'm checking all those boxes and having a great time doing it. So am I very intentionally trying to get above 1600? No. If it happens, no big deal.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm having a great time. You've discovered a whole new world in iRacing. What is it?
The Porsche Cup?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Last week, which was week one, I did a fair amount of the Porsche Cup. And again, like you, whatever one fit when I was sitting in my rig, the open or the fixed, which is pretty handy. It's at the Roval. I like the Roval. I've always sort of had my groove there, so I was pretty comfortable there. And, you know, it's a bit of a similar story to your F3. I would sort of start a little bit further back, but by the end of the race, I'm in fourth place, fifth place, you know, wherever it is, up near the top. And I think that I can get even closer to the top, the podiums, if I can get a little more consistent. But I certainly, at least for week one, seem to have found pace. And it's fun. It's fun to be competitive and not sort of back of the pack.
You know, and when you say consistency, I think that's a big part of why I'm having so much fun. So I happen to be at Watkins Glen in the F3s. I love Watkins Glen. I know that track as well as any track. And I was not spinning. I wasn't making mistakes. I could kind of put the car wherever I wanted. I mean, there were so many times I was driving through multiple corners side by side, you know, crew chiefs in my ear saying, wow, you got some consistent laps going here, right? It was just, it's like I found a hole in a golf course that I'm really good at. So I just played that hole over and over, yeah. But I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I like how crew chief acts as a motivational speaker for us sometimes.
Yeah, kind of validates what you suspected. Then he throws in a curse word and tells
you. I turned off the sweary feature.
Did you?
I like the positive part of it.
I don't know. I like the sweary part just to mix it up.
So, yeah, we'll see if we continue with F3 and Porsche Cup. I suspect so. I'm not sure where it is this week, but I've had a lot of fun. And we dabbled in a couple of other things. We did the VRS Endurance at Road Atlanta this weekend. Jumped in for like a 3-person quick hour each type deal.
Yeah. I think that actually came together an hour before the race. So we just jumped in, had fun. You ran a stint. I ran a stint. Our buddy Marcelo ran a stint. Called it a day. Didn't win the race. That's okay.
We should do that more often. Because it's not a huge time commitment. And it gives you a bit of that endurance feel, right? You know, I dinged up the car. And if you had saw me, I had my hands in my head like, oh, no, what did I do? But yeah, it's good endurance practice.
And it was fun. It was at Road Atlanta, so we know Petit Le Mans coming up in a couple weeks. So it was good to just kind of spend some time there in sort of a pseudo endurance setting, kind of get ready for that.
Right on. So this week we started with a whole new season, and there were a few new goodies that landed in our basket. One was the Hungaroring. I got on it before you.
Yeah.
And it was like Monday or Tuesday, early in the week. And I remember texting you like, wow, the wavy flags are awesome. Have you checked them out?
So I was kind of like, okay, Rob, I'm happy, you know, that you like the wavy flags. I don't think I really registered exactly what you're saying. I bought it 2 or 3 days later, and I think I texted you back and said, holy smokes, the wavy flags are awesome, and they're just the beginning, right?
Yeah.
They had the new tree model in there, speed tree, whatever it's called, was in there. Wavy flags, they were Pirelli flags. They weren't just little pennants or something like that. They were actual advertisements that we've talked about, creating that race day environment. They had the full F1, you know, it's an F1 track. They had the full F1 signage all over the track, you know, Heineken 0.0, don't drink when you drive, all, you know, Pirelli, all the F1 sponsors were scattered across the track like you would expect on F1 race day.
Which just looked good. I mean, it looked more, I don't know, real, lack of a better word.
Like it wasn't sparse.
Yeah, I was really impressed. I like the wavy flags. That was one piece that jumped out at me. And the second piece that jumped out at me were the colors. Now, it was a new track, and I jumped on it, and I'm like, wow, this looks brighter. I mean, it looks like I have a color filter thing on here. The colors are more vibrant. They're really pop. And I drove around for a few laps, and I was like, oh, this is kind of a cool track. Oh, I like the wavy flags. And then I jumped on to some other track, and I kind of thought that the colors popped again. So I reached out to you again. Wow, have you seen the colors popped?
I kind of said, I mean, I guess so. It kind of looks the same as it always has. And what I kind of figured out was you hadn't been racing in HDR, and I have. And HDR takes away the yellow tint. So you were kind of seeing things through the normal lens, right? The non-HDR lens, which is very yellow. So all of a sudden, you're getting really excited about the colors. So excited, you posted to the iRacing forum asking for a developer to weigh in, right?
I did. This would have been the Wednesday I sent a message, my first message on the iRacing forum. And basically, I said, hey, the colors seem to pop to me. I would love it if somebody would respond to this that I could see on my dev tracker, because then I'll find it.
You said dev tracker, please.
Yeah, dev tracker, please, with a smiley face. And sure enough, a staff member did get back the next day, and they said, for a while now, we've been a little too warm in tone. Okay, that's a bit of an understatement. I mean, it's been yellow.
Yep.
And the sun has overpowered the color mix too significantly. Okay, I thought that was kind of interesting. While the blueness of the sky was washed out, we fixed this, and the fix went out in today's patch. The yellow world complaint should be gone or minimized, and the colors do definitely pop more now, and it looks better. All right, so I think that's really cool that they got back to me. A lot of people chatting about it in the forum. Hey, I really noticed it. Looks great. Thanks a million. It did not clear up any confusion in my mind, though. I mean, I'm glad that it looks good. But what he was saying was this color pop started basically on like Wednesday. And
right.
I'm saying, hey, I noticed the colors pop right away, Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah, you'd been saying it all week.
Yeah. So I don't know. I guess maybe it was a placebo effect with the Hungaroring and the wavy flags, and it got me all excited or something. Or maybe the staff member who responded was wrong or something, or there was a miscommunication on when that went out in a patch or in the update. But nevertheless, bottom line, colors for non-HDR people like me, they look great. I mean, no need for color filters anymore. The yellow is gone.
Yeah, so anyone that's out there running, you know, NVIDIA or Reshade, maybe turn it off. Get the 5 or 6 frames that you lost to Reshade, get them back and see what you think.
It's like a free GPU upgrade.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, it's really cool. And they kind of snuck it in because there was season 4, but then there was season 4 patch number 1. And patch number 1 just had this little bullet point that said the colors have been adjusted.
Yeah, I didn't get into it any further. I just took their response for what it was. But it's not even the end game here. That was just a bit of an adjustment that they made. And there's a bit of a history on this.
Yeah, there is. There's a whole, like, it was first created with CRT monitors, you know, the big, huge ones that weighed 50 pounds, you know, whatever, 16 inch or something if you're lucky. And now all the monitors are bluish because they're LEDs. And yeah, there's a whole history to it. And maybe iRacing used to be too blue, apparently, if you kind of dig back into it and look at the forums and some of the posts and stuff like that. And then it was too yellow. And now it's back to neutral again.
But that's not even what they're gunning for here. This whole lighting update in the future kind of thing is not just what they did.
Right. There's tone mapping, which we've seen when they showed the rain. We saw in the menus there's tone mapping. I don't think that's what they just released. I think they just did a little color correction.
I don't even know what tone mapping is and stuff. All I know is there's a scale. Better gets even better. Very happy. You know, there's like a 1 to 10 scale here. And they just moved the scale bar up quite a bit.
Well, you were talking about this. And I started digging around, like, what is the history? And it turns out, as you might expect, all of the release notes for iRacing over all of time are available on the internet. And so I started digging back through them and I realized that it's basically a treasure trove of information about a lot of the things that we take for granted. You know, each time there's a release, we kind of dive into it to see what new toys we got. But a lot of the toys that we have today, all the details about how they work and what they are, they're buried in release notes. There's no user manual for iRacing. It's a lot of tribal knowledge, you might call it. So one of the things I found was the night and day update. Now, I knew it had been introduced at some point. It turns out the day and night update came out in season 1 of 2019.
So like 2.5 years ago kind of thing.
Yeah. And this is when they added a lot of the things that we kind of take for granted today. So dynamic skies that change over time. The beautiful clouds and the sun and all that movement. Shadows that change with the sun's movement. It turned out that the shadows were static before that. You know how it's so cool you can drive around Spa and you can see clouds on one part of the track and sun on the other and it changes over time?
Yeah,
that was
sure.
All introduced in 2019 season 1. And things like the shadows that are cast actually, you know, dynamically impact the track temperature. That came out in that same release. Le Mans. I don't know how far back I thought that Le Mans went, but it turns out that day and night wasn't an option until, you know, January of 2019. So they updated Le Mans to have, you know, a night mode as part of that release.
So they weren't doing the 24-hour Le Mans like 3 years ago?
Unless someone can tell us otherwise, based on these release notes, that this is the first time that night was an option.
That must have been friggin' awesome when they released this. I mean, changing track temperature. You know, I kind of pay attention to it a little bit when I'm racing. Crew chief comes on, says track temperature is falling 32 degrees.
And I think they had track temperature, but the shadows didn't impact it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So they said, hey, we have a new weather system that was partially implemented. So it's not rain, right? But it's changing weather. And then the sky detail graphics option was added. And so if you look at these release notes, you kind of find out all these details about that one little drop down that we all see. Mm-hmm. And I think now it just has low and high. But when it was released, they basically say, hey, all this drop-down does is control how many frames are used to update the sky. So if you set it on low, it's going to update it like every couple frames. So maybe you're running at, you know, 120 frames per second, but the sky is only going to update 20 times a second, right? You set it to high, it's going to update more frequently, which we kind of knew, but they explain all this in great detail in these release notes. So I don't know. I think I'm going to go back and, you know, over time, kind of look back into some of these release notes. So they explain these systems that they implemented.
I encourage you to do that. It's interesting, right? I mean, there's some really cool things that came out 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago, before I was iRacing, that you take it for granted. That must have been amazing, like 2.5 years ago when they came out with night mode and you could do the 24-hour Le Mans. I mean, wow, that's awesome.
I would think, and we probably know people that were around then, but I mean, that's almost as exciting as rain. It's, you know, maybe even more practical than rain because it enables all these night races and 24-hour races that we love to do. All right, so we're talking about track temperature. The track temperature influences how much your tires slide or don't slide. So I think that I might be really good at saving tires. And I've never thought this before, but a couple weeks ago, I was running NASCAR at, I don't know, Richmond. And so we get to lap, I don't know, 70. And everyone comes into the pits and they're like, oh my goodness, my tires are 85%. They're shot. Man, I can barely get around the track. And I was thinking, I'm not having really any problem getting around the track. I'm not the fastest guy out here, but no problem. So I went into the pits with everyone else and my tires were at 97%. And everyone else was way, way, way below that. And so next race, I did an experiment. I just stayed out to lap 100 or something like that. I went in and my tires were at 95%. And everyone, I was like, how's everyone's tires looking? Like, oh, terrible. You know, I'm at 82% or whatever. So I started to think, maybe I'm somehow accidentally better at saving tires. Or maybe I'm smoother than I think I am or something like that. Or too timid. Maybe I'm too timid. I'm not cranking the wheel enough. And then this past week in F3, some guy's like sliding all over the place. He's like, oh, my tires are gone. I'm thinking, it feels like lap 3 to me. So I don't know if I'm good at saving tires, but the evidence seems to point to me being having a special ability. I used to say my special ability was safety, but maybe it's saving tires.
A tire guru.
I don't know.
I wouldn't really know unless I was able to evaluate my track times as the race went on and I could see that my track times fall when my tires deteriorate so that I could apply a calculus as to, oh, well, if I sacrifice a little bit of time in my early laps, then I will gain that, you know, in spades at the end of the race. But I am far too inconsistent to evaluate that. So for me, it's just a bit of a crapshoot, right?
And I think the same thing applies to me. So normally I'm just kind of a little bit inconsistent, trying to pass people, you know, who knows, touch the grass. At Richmond in the NASCAR cars, I was very consistent. According to the crew chief, I was very consistent. I was the most consistent boy out there, he told me.
I've never heard him tell me that.
He said, I'm proud of you, son.
Wow.
No. But he said I was consistent. And now listen, my special ability is not fastest. Crew chief has never said, all right, you're the fastest guy out here.
We're going to have to compare our crew chief profiles because I want my crew chief to tell me that I'm incredible as well.
Yeah, he's so proud of me.
That's right. He's proud. I want him proud of me. That's fantastic.
Yeah. So, Rob, did you know that splits are not just determined by eye rating?
No. What do you mean?
So, in my forensic studies back in 2015, they changed the model for how splits are determined. And it turns out there's two other factors, eye rating, but then the other two are internet latency and friends.
Get out of here.
They don't explain how friends factor in, but it does factor in. It is one of the three factors.
Really?
Yeah. So we're always saying, oh man, I can't believe we're in the same split. You have to be close, but if we're both 1.3 and there's a bunch of other people that are 1.3, I think the odds that we're going to end up together are greater because we're iRacing friends, you know, officially in the system.
Buddy, that is awesome. Like, your dive into the history books is unearthing gems. Okay, so
very cool.
That's interesting because I'm not very aggressive on the friend management within iRacing. We tend to use our Discord channel to talk to each other when we hop into our rigs on a Tuesday night. And it's like, hey, what do you want to do? Hey, why don't we go over and do this? That's kind of how we do things. But there are people that I race with all the time that I don't even think I'm friends with them on iRacing. So I'm going to add them as friends just to up the chance of us being in the same split together.
I think I'm going to do the same thing, right? It's not that hard to do, especially if it's someone that you know from Discord. Why not? And knowing that it now is taken into account in the splits.
What did you say the other thing was? The friend factor and
internet latency. You know, there's a whole thing around if there are two racers and they're both 2000 IR and one of them's in Australia and one of them is in Western US and they both have a good ping on their local servers, guess what? They're going to get put in Boston. They're going to get put in the closest neutral server so that neither one of them has an advantage. So there's a whole explanation of how that works, which is gets a little bit down in the weeds. But so that's how internet latency factors in. They call it subgroups.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. So I encourage you to keep at that, delving into the past release notes. So that's
having a lot of fun there.
Yeah, well, that's good.
So last week you revisited VR. You got a 3080 Ti and you set up RaceLab. And I asked, what overlays did you set up? And I think you only have, what, two or three overlays?
Yep.
And I said, oh man, well, what about the rest of them? You said, that's all I need.
Mm-hmm.
So what two or three did you set up, and why do you think you only need those?
Well, you're a little more overlay intensive than I am.
Oh yeah.
For me, the answer to your question, I put a relative up, put the standings up, a fuel calculator. That's about it. Oh, I like the pit box helper. Lets me know when I have my pit limiter on and if I'm underneath the speed when I'm coming into the pits and stuff. So, but that kind of comes and goes. So really it's just relative and in standings. I'm almost tempted just to bail on the standings as well, just get them out of the way and just use the black box in iRacing. I'm trying to wean myself off of some of this extra stuff in my visual queue, you know? Like, you know, I talked about being inconsistent earlier on. I think it's just the nature of me being an everyday iRacer kind of guy. I'm having fun playing with all the toys. But, you know, if I'm not looking to see what the last lap time is of the guy who's following me in the standings, there's just less chance of making a mistake. I kind of feel like I should be more in the zone. I should be more focused on my car balance, you know, how I'm braking and entering corners and all that kind of stuff. And that the rest will just, it'll just be what it is at the end of the race. You know, that I don't need to hyper analyze it all while I'm racing. So I'm just trying to wean myself off of the number of overlays that I have up.
It's funny, as that is happening in a parallel universe, I'm adding more. I'm getting deeper into it. I'm getting more specific. I kind of discovered the layout feature. I think we both tried it, I don't know, a couple months back. And I love it. And I added as soon as I possibly could the track map. And I said to you, Rob, the track map is here. It's amazing. And you're like, not going to add the track map. I was like, we've been waiting years for this, right? And so I have my track map. My circle is different than all the other drivers. I have friends. You can set up friends in RaceLab. And so my friends show up in a certain color. They're blue and I'm red and everyone else is white. You know, so I'm looking where are you on track if we're in the same race? I've got the fuel calculator up there. It tells me if I'm getting into my fuel window. Crew chief's yelling at me about it anyway, but I've got it up there visually. I got the standings. I want to see who's the top three, who's around me. I got my relative over there, pit box helper, of course, head to head. Love head to head. I want to see if I'm gaining on the guy in front of me and if I'm gaining on the guy behind me, where I'm gaining. I want to know all these things.
Can't you just like look forward and sort of see where he is, or like glance at your relative and see if you're gaining?
This week in F3, I was hunting people down that were over the horizon.
You're the
hunter.
And
I wanted to see it. 0.3 in this sector, 0.5 in this sector, minus 0.2 in that sector. Uh-oh, I got to clean that up a little bit. I don't know. I love it. Am I a distracted driver? Yes. Am I having a ton of fun with 7 or 8 different overlays? Absolutely. And now I've discovered that I can set up specific layouts for NASCAR and F3, because F3 you don't really do pit stops, so I took the pit helper out.
Let me ask you a question. Can you export a layout?
I think you can.
I mean, could you take your NASCAR layout and export it to me so that I don't have to spend 15, 20 minutes setting it up instead of racing, which is exactly what happens. I don't do it because I finally get into my rig at the end of the night when the family's taken care of or whatever, and I just want to get out on the track and I don't want to spend the time to get organized. So I have not used the layouts, but I would really benefit from them.
You would. There's an export layout button. And I think I could, I know that we're in different resolutions, so I don't know how that would factor in, but it's worth a shot.
Give it a try.
Yeah. I've got a spotter layout, a road car, a replay layout. Ugh, I'm really into it.
But I did get the layouts going in my VR headset, which are pretty cool in VR. You know, it's three-dimensional. You know, you can put the standings, for example, you can have it like laying on top of your dashboard so it looks like it's actually part of your dashboard in the car. And you can have a relative like basically right in front of your eyes, just above your eyebrows kind of thing, very close to your face. For anybody who hasn't experienced VR, you might not have any perception to what I'm talking about, but it is ultra cool how you can put all of your overlays in any shape or size and slant anywhere in your field of view. It's pretty neat.
So VR... Let's talk about it for a second. You're back into it.
Well,
okay. So you're not racing in VR every night. You had a fancy new video card.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted to see what VR would look like in that video card.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. You can tell us about that.
Yeah, it looks great. I have that G2 Reverb. It goes to like 90 FPS. And I've got it basically at a constant 90 FPS, which for me in the VR is awesome. I mean, when it falls to 70 or 60, it's way too jumpy for me. And I'm like, get this off. But if you can keep it at 90, I'm like, golden. Like, this is awesome. So that was nice. And it's very clear now. It's even more clear than it was before. It's a higher resolution. So really happy with it. But there are other things about it that are preventing me from just jumping into it whole hog.
So we both agree that VR is amazing and it is the best version of iRacing. It's the best experience. You can look to the apex. You can look around your cockpit. You can even do your overlays, all of these things. Serious question. Why aren't you and I both racing in VR every single night? We have the video cards. We have the VR headsets. Why aren't we doing this every single night?
Okay, for me, the issue is when you put on your headset, you're in a different world. You're in the car. You are immersed. You don't know anything that's going on outside of your virtual world. You don't hear anybody coming in the room. You can't see anybody walking by, you know, family member or anything. Like, you are totally immersed, which is cool in its own right, but it's a little bit disturbing as well. Yeah. It's like one small point. The other thing is I'm tinkering with other stuff. Like, I'm adding a livery to a car using trading paints before I get in. I'm looking at Discord to see who's online. I'm fiddling with some setup or whatever, but I'm doing stuff on my screens. And I wear eyeglasses. So as soon as I lift the headset up so that I can see my screens, I need to grab my glasses, put my glasses on, then I can read what's going on. And then when it's time to go back to headset, I take my glasses off, put them down, lower the headset. It's this back and forth that inhibits me from just doing it 100%.
I agree with all that. And I have a headset that I like. I can't wear that with the VR. The VR is not terrible, right? It's good in its own right from an audio perspective. Mm. But I can't use my other headset. I'm not sitting here the whole time I'm racing, like, you know, taking a drink every lap, but you can't do simple things like take a drink or, like you said, reach for your mouse and kind of move something around on Discord. Anything that you're doing, like you say, in the outside of VR world is that much more difficult. And you can't just pop the VR headset up, you know, and try to find your mouse that slid off from the transducer vibration or something like that. It's no, you're either in or you're out in the middle of a race.
Yeah. Now, it's only been a week or something since I've been able to sort of get that maximum frame rate, make it look all good and stuff. You know, I'd like to put some more time into it. I'd like to fall in love with it. I'm courting it right now.
Well, what's it going to take? What's it going to take for you to sit in your rig and not even give it a second thought? You're racing in VR.
Well, it takes a commitment because let's just say this week I'm doing the Porsche series or whatever. So I'm going to go and I'm going to do a little bit of practice session and then I'm going to do a race. But I don't want to be sort of bopping back and forth. Monday night, I'm going to do it in VR. Tuesday night, I'm going to do it in triples. Back and forth, because there's an adjustment for each style. And I don't know which is faster, which is slower. I mean, everybody has their own opinion. But I think doing one 80% of the time would be better. But it takes the commitment. And right now, I haven't committed to doing the VR like 80% of the time. Maybe I'll take a week at one point and say, okay, look, when I'm going to do the Porsche series, I'll make sure that my overlays are where I want them. So I can just get in the car, push the VR button, my overlays will pop up, I don't have to fiddle with them, and off I go and give it a go. But I like the freedom and flexibility of our triple screen scenario, being able to play with other stuff and sort of get organized.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about it. So if the headset was half as bulky, that would help, right? It's not something you sit there thinking about the whole time, but if it was just something you slide on, like a pair of oversized sunglasses that kind of, you know, like a ski mask.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that makes it simpler. If you could just kind of hit a button and have like 70% translucence and kind of see through it and still race, that might help.
Okay, that would be awesome. I mean, if right? I could keep my headset on and push a button and see my computer screen.
Just a little bit, right?
You know, like that I could do some adjusting or just put all of my screens in like cinema mode in my headset or something like that. Maybe there's an app or something that allows you to do that, but that would be a game changer for me.
So you and I both happen to have a fourth screen. What if you could define an area, you could hit a button, and then all of a sudden, if you tipped your head back, you would see the real world above that, but you would still see the virtual world below it. If you see what I'm saying, sort of a virtual cutoff, you could toggle on or off. Okay, I'm sure there's all kinds of VR manufacturers listening right now. We're just giving this for free. But ski mask size VR goggles. The ability to see through it.
Yeah.
This is a $1 million idea.
There's another little piece of the puzzle, and that is part of the hobby for me is the tinkering and stuff. Like this week, I've been moving transducers around my rig. I'm always thinking about my dashboard and how I want to like cover things in Alcantara now and, you know, a button box and where would I put things and all that kind of stuff. So that appearance, that look of the rig, you know, if I'm in VR all the time, I don't need any of that. So that might be a benefit. You'd be like, hey, you save all this money. You don't need to fiddle with creating a real life dashboard for your car. But I kind of enjoy that.
Right? I do too. Like I'll find myself kind of looking over at my transducers. You can kind of see them blinking like with the intensity of, I'm like, oh, that one turned itself off.
Blinking light.
I like it. Or I can look down. I can see if my CPU, if it's green or red. Oh man, I'm pushing the system hard. I like kind of the whole experience of what I've got here.
I will say though, if somebody were to ask me, hey, I'm just on like a crummy old office monitor, a single monitor, and I have a little bit of extra money now, I have the GPU, should I go with triples or VR or whatever? You know, I'm pretty compelled to say you should be going VR.
You talked about adjusting your rig this week. I made a few adjustments. I'm really excited. Can I kind of tell you just the small changes I made that had a pretty big impact?
I love all this rig stuff.
All right. So I got the first idea from the video that you pointed me to from Race Beyond Matter about a week ago. So he talked about, in another video, the perfect seat position. I don't yet have the perfect seat position. He's got more adjustments than I do and all this. But I did what I could. And so I actually tipped my seat backward. And it made a huge difference. You know, my body is pressed against the transducers even more so, the one behind me and the one underneath me. I'm just in a spot where I'm a little bit more comfortable. So just literally taking out two bolts, tipping the back of my seat backwards, screwing it back in, has made things just much better.
I did the exact same thing.
You did?
Yep.
From the same video?
Nope, but it was after watching his rig tour. I was like, I'm not happy enough with my seating position, and I dropped the rear of my seat down. But anyway, keep going, because I'm loving this.
Yep. So did that. So thanks to the gentleman behind Race Beyond Matter for that. My pedals. So I realized that I bought these pedals and I just bolted them onto the rig and whatever they were set at from like the rubber thickness and all that kind of stuff is what I left them at. Seemed good. So everyone talks about having your pedals really hard. And I was like, I don't know if I want them really hard. But I tried it. It's not that difficult. Whether you have Club Sport V3s or in this case, Husingvelt Sprints, not that hard to change out the rubber. So I did. I set them to the second to hardest setting that's possible. And it has changed my racing for the better. I think I'm going to take it all the way to the hardest setting, because why not? If I'm at 90%, why not try it at 100%? And so when I push my pedal, you know, the Husingfeld simulates what they call the distance from brake pad to disc. So there's this little bit of give initially on purpose, which you can actually tune out. And then after that, it doesn't move at all. I'm pushing it right now. It's not moving at all. It's just I'm putting more or less pressure on it. And I think someone on our Discord had kind of explained, like, it's, you know, your leg can have more muscle memory in terms of pressure than it can in terms of motion, right? There's probably some science behind that. But I'm absolutely finding that to be the case. And I'm much more consistent. I changed it before the F3 revival this week. Maybe it has something to do with that. But
the revival.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm loving it. And all I did was just change out the rubbers and make it as hard as, you know, almost as hard as possible.
Okay, well, thanks a million. Now I need to get on my hands and knees and pull my pedals out and put in the two little red bumpers to make them really stiff. Join the program. This isn't life-changing stuff, but it is. I mean, I love tinkering with this kind of stuff. I mean, it's kind of, hey, I've got an extra 20 minutes. I could move my mouse stand. Like, yeah. How awesome will that be, right? So that's a wrap on our first week of season 4, 2021. If you've enjoyed the show, please hit that follow button wherever you're listening to your podcasts.
If you have comments, you can send us an email at everydayiracers@gmail.com. We'd love to see you on our Discord. We have a great community of like-minded iRacers out there. You'll find the invite to Discord in the podcast description. There's so many good things going on out there.
We hope to hear from you either in Discord or via email, but if we don't, we hope to see you on the track.